news, reviews, commentary, not just another podcast.
Are the Ordinary the Big Ball Podcast.
One thing in the world that doesn't need a special edition. Now here comes your host, Kyle Hebert, and all the world,
Steve.
Welcome, one and all, to the Big Ball Broadcast, episode 32. This is Kyle Hebert, an LA-based voice actor. You can hear me on Samurai 7 from Funimation Entertainment, which airs Saturday nights on the International Film Channel at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Also on Naruto, or Naruto, on Cartoon Network as Kiba.
And this is your co-host, Otherworld Steve. I am an anime journalist and webmaster of KyleHebert.com.
This week, Google search to evolve from typing to speaking, Nintendo sharing the DS love, Sega bringing out a portable, DVD news aplenty, including the very first HD DVD titles, Superman Returns goes 3D kinda sorta some of the time, South Park creators bite the hands that feed them, Clamp making their first U.S. appearance, Disney announcing free downloads of hit TV shows with a catch, TDK thinks 50 gig on a Blu-ray disc just isn't enough, and who is the most popular instant messenger program around the world? How's that for a tease?
I was distracted. I was feeling all teased.
Oh, yes, of course. But of course, we have a tradition here. We have to start with our mailbag.
Oh, is it the Strong Bad mailbag?
Yes, the Strong Bad imitation mailbag. We reach deep into the inbox at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. Got one from Kerbifer here, who's called before, and he sent us a line here. It says, in response to the Pokemon Pink Slip subject, if you're interested in helping out some fellow voice actors who really care about the characters they brought to life over the years, Cerebi.net, I'm probably mispronouncing that because I'm not a Pokemon fan, but anyway, it's a large Pokepedia site. They opened up a section with some addresses to where you can send letters for feedback on this decision. I know you and Steve aren't really fans of the franchise, which I honestly don't blame you for, but contrary to what you might think, a huge amount of people actually do care about this decision and what may come out. As I think even the Funimation cast learned, imitating what someone else sounds like is not the point of anime dubbing, which is why DBZ Season 3 didn't go over so well with the fans until the Texas cast developed the characters into their own and not into someone else's from the Ocean cast. Plus, with Pokemon, we've had these same VAs for what seems like it could be an entire decade. If you're interested in helping the cast down in New York out, please send a letter or supply a link to those who might be interested in helping out as well. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. I'll still be tuning in every week. P.S. I can safely say that Kingdom Hearts 2 is a spectacular game, and I highly suggest you try it out. All right. Well, thank you, Kerbifer, for the feedback there, and I will post a link in our show notes. It's a link to this Pokemon fan site. It has some addresses, some contact information. If you care about hearing the original voice cast for Pokemon, let them know.
Is it worth me even opening my trap at this point? Because only, you know, crap's going to spew out.
Ew.
Just like that, yeah.
Ew.
Like, I had coffee and pizza for supper, so, well, for breakfast, really.
I just tried the new Coke Black. I love that.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, it's coffee-flavored Coke. It rules.
I had no idea it was on the market already.
Yeah, it's out, dude.
Ooh, is it, like, out nationwide or just in select cities?
I found some in Dallas, and now I found some here in L.A., so I think it's out. Ooh. I think it's rolled out.
Guess what I'm doing after the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, back to the topic at hand. Unfortunately, with the Pokemon situation, I'm a real pessimist. Well, I guess you could say I'm a realist more so than a pessimist, because this is a big business decision. It isn't like a whimsical thing. It wasn't a decision made by four kids. It's, you know, this gigantic company. And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of online petitions and a lot of different writing campaigns, and I haven't seen anything happen. The two cases in point that really stick out in my mind is the huge campaign to bring Teen Titans back to Cartoon Network, which apparently didn't work, for a Serenity or Firefly Season 2. Massive campaigns. You get tens of thousands of people writing in and begging for this, and I don't see it happening. I'm not saying it's not worth standing up for what you believe in, but it's just so difficult when you're talking again about these, you know, humongous corporations making these humongous corporate decisions.
What pops into my mind is that because these shows take so much pre-production time to get out there and dubbed and everything, by the time they probably announce the change, half the season was probably already dubbed with this new cast, you know? So again, going back to what you said about a business decision, the machines are already turning.
Right. I mean, I know the priority was to do the 10th anniversary special, and for all we know, that's already in the can.
probably was recorded like last summer with another cast, and they've just kept it under lids that they went ahead and got a different cast or whatever. Whatever the circumstance is, because, yeah, what some people just don't understand is these shows do take time to produce, and it's at the discretion of the corporation and their PR department when they choose to disclose what they're going to do with it, like Final Fantasy Advent Children. My God, how long has that been on the shelf?
But no, I mean, back to your point, it's very valid because I'm assuming that the 10th anniversary special is going to be a theatrical release with the promotion that you have to have behind that and everything, and then printing up movie posters and whatnot. Oh, yeah, this is something that must have been done months ago.
So it may be, you know, too little too late, but yeah, if you believe in something, certainly stand up for it, because you never know. Fans rallying together are the reason Serenity was made from a failed, canceled TV show. So it's not entirely out of the realm of possibilities, but it's an uphill battle for sure.
And if I may comment briefly on Kingdom Hearts 2, although I'm not playing it, Becca is, and I've got to see her play quite a bit of it. It looks beautiful. It sounds really good, like voice actor-wise. I'm questioning like three things in particular. Thing number one was involving Chicken Little in the game. And I've seen a lot of fan outcry for it. And, you know, the catchphrase out there right now is all Disney characters are not created the same. You know?
Right.
Have some pride in your product and don't just throw every character out there because you're trying to increase DVD sales or related merchandise. Captain Jack Sparrow, kind of weird to see in there because he's not really like a Disney animated character, but I guess I can understand them tying that in. But one of the cool things, which I thought was going to suck and ended up being pretty cool, was including Tron.
I've always had a special place in my heart for Tron. I saw that in the theater when it came out. I was a little kid, but still, and I like it. What can I say?
You're not going to get any argument from me there.
If you have something to say on any topic at all, comments, questions, suggestions, whatever, please drop us a line. Or if you're feeling brave, plug in your microphone and send us an MP3 comment. Send that email to thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. Or if you can stomach, you know, spending a quarter for a long-distance call, you can call 818-574-3607 and leave a message on our listener comment line. We'd love to hear from you. And right now, let's just move on with the show. DVD release dates aplenty. This week marks the release of the very first HD DVD titles. Now, HD DVD format is put together from Toshiba, and of course, the rival format is from Sony, Blu-ray. Now, the Blu-ray discs are delayed right now, but the HD titles will be hitting this week for a retail price of $34.95. My big flick I love to whore around here, Serenity. And let's see, another title from Warner Brothers. You get The Last Samurai, Million Dollar Baby, and Phantom of the Opera. The average cost of an HD DVD player is about $500. And for those with a standard DVD player, you can pick up Thundercats Season 1, Volume 1. Looking ahead to May 23rd, you get the 4400 Season 2, Mystery Science Theater 3000, Volume 9, Samurai Jack Season 3, X-Men Evolution Season 3. Following week on May 30th, Avatar Volume 3, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Slim Case Season Sets 1 through 7. And for you older folks, I'm sure even Steve might remember this, The Bugaloos Complete Series.
Not ringing a bell, no.
Wow, okay, Sid and Marty Krofft show from the early 70s, very psychedelic.
Well, that might explain a lot.
It might, okay, yeah. Also, you probably picked this one up, though, Venture Brothers Volume 1.
Ooh, I'm all jazzed about that.
That's right. June 6th, X-Files will wrap up its Slim Case seasons with 7, 8, and 9.
Yay.
Yeah. June 13th, you get The Boondocks Season 1, uncut, yay, uncensored. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Stargate fans will like to pick up the Slim Case versions of Stargate SG-1 Seasons 1 through 8. On June 20th, you get The Adventures of Superboy. Remember that? I don't, but direct-to-video Superman animated Brainiac Attacks. You get Justice League Season 2 and Superman the Animated Series Season 3. This is all, of course, tying into the big Superman Returns, which we have a story about later in the show. July 4th, Doctor Who, the new 27th season, which is currently airing on Sci-Fi and aired last year in the UK. That'll be making its U.S. debut on DVD. Avatar Volume 4, July 11th. On July 18th, if you're a Bruce Campbell fan, and hey, who isn't? Okay, well, except for Steve. Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., the complete series. That is a Western with sci-fi elements. It's funny. It's cool. It's one of Bruce Campbell's best works. And July 25th, Pinky and the Brain, Volume 1.
And Animaniacs 2 is coming out soon, right?
Yes, it is. It is on the deck. I didn't see the particular thing. I got these release dates actually off Ain't It Cool. And I didn't see the Animaniacs listed. I know that it is coming out, though.
I think I'm looking more forward to that than Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, Animaniacs was always a bigger show for me. Pinky and the Brain is some great stuff, though. I'm a big fan of Rob Paulsen and the Brain, Maurice LaMarche. Great work on that.
On May 6th and May 13th, Cartoon Network will be airing the two-parter final episode of Justice League Unlimited. And it is the series finale, not the season finale. It's going to be on 10 p.m. Eastern on their Toonami cartoon block. The fans of Justice League out there, I really sympathize with you guys watching all these relatively good shows, you know, go bye-bye.
Thanks to Idiots in Control at Warner Brothers. Did I say that? Oh.
I mean, really, first Teen Titans, now Justice League? Wow. And the video game hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, the Teen Titans game is about to come out, I think, this month. And what are they thinking, you know? The toys are selling? Like, you're making money on this property and you're yanking the plug?
I just have to shake my head. I don't understand it. And this comes from a press release from Funimation Entertainment. Clamp, the renowned Japanese manga artists, famous for their very popular and unique style, will make their first tour of the United States ever at this year's Anime Expo. Their visit is being co-sponsored by Anime Expo, Delray Manga, Funimation Entertainment, and Tokyo Pop. Yeah, I can link over to the press release, but wow, this is this is such a big deal for manga and anime fans all over the place.
Yeah, if you're into anime and manga, you've definitely heard the name Clamp. You've definitely seen the titles, if not read or heard or seen it.
Oh, yeah. Magic Knights Rare, Cardcaptor Sakura, Chobits, Tsubasa. Great, great, great mangas and anime series.
And Tsubasa is the latest acquisition from Funimation. So for those kind of scratching their heads going, what does Funimation have to do with Clamp? Well, they did license the new show, Tsubasa. So.
And the manga is huge. Becca is a humongous fan of Tsubasa, and I'm sure the anime is going to kick butt. So yeah, if you're going to be in the Anaheim, California area, 4th of July weekend, definitely make it a point to stop by Anime Expo and check out Clamp. For those of you who don't know, Clamp consists of 4 women artists. So, you know, it's not just one person, it's 4 really kick-ass manga chicks.
TDK working on 200 gig storage for Blu-ray discs. Boy, these things haven't even come out, and TDK is already trying to push the envelope there. Now, the standard Blu-ray disc will hold 50 gig, and that's a lot, folks. But think about it. Most people's PCs don't have 200 gigs of storage. So think about how much crap you can put on these DVDs now.
Oh, that's freaking incredible.
The price point is enough to scare anyone away.
Well, I'll tell you what. It reminds me a lot of like when VHS first came into being and when DVD first came into being. Everything's really scary at this point with Blu-ray. I saw, I believe on CNN, the first home standalone Blu-ray player. And the thing is humongous. It looks like a phonograph player. It's absolutely monstrous. It's like 3 times the size of a laptop. Actually, yeah, take a laptop, stack 3 on top of each other, and that's about the size of this player. You know, I'm just going to stand firm on what I said earlier. I really don't think Blu-ray is going to take off until the PS3 hits late this year, because I think that's going to be the only, like, not only the affordable way to be able to bring Blu-ray into your home, but it's going to be a lot smaller than the standalone players. So,
with HD DVDs kicking off this week in stores anywhere, I don't know how well the public's going to take to this, because I'm sure that those following it are kind of savvy to it and going, okay, I really don't know where my money's going here, because you've got movie studios backing both formats, but you don't have any companies really bringing out any hybrid players.
One of them is going to go the way of Betamax.
Yeah, and the other may go the way of Laserdisc. So.
Well, I mean, it's really tough because, you know, I think HD got its kneecaps broken when Microsoft didn't ship the 360s with the HD recognition device or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just very typical of Microsoft to really drop the ball like that. I guess they're going to be releasing the external HD drive, and there's really no word or price point on when that's going to happen. I'm firmly supporting Blu-ray, along with what I think the better of the big companies are. You know, ILM and Lucas are backing Blu-ray, so really, what more do you need to hear?
Well, yeah. If you're sitting there going, okay, when's the Star Wars trilogy coming out on HD? Ain't gonna happen.
But again, you're talking like 50 gigs right now, possibly 200 gigs in the future. That's everything Lucas ever had to do with Star Wars on one disc.
Yeah, and that sets a precedent for any studio. Think about how extensive special editions are right now. Deluxe sets, but amplified like 1,000%. They could stuff every element of the production from beginning to end on every movie that comes out on Blu-ray or HD, for that matter, onto one disc.
And you and I are freaks like that, where when we get a disc at home, the first thing you do is you want to watch the extras. You know, I already saw the movie, that's why I bought the disc. So 5 hours of extras. So, you know, pretty soon, 16 hours of extras.
I wish that studios would just put out one version of a movie. Don't put out a single disc version, have it on sale at Best Buy for $14.99, and then you find out, oh, there's also a two-disc version also available, but that's $26.99. Just have one. Put out the two-disc, and the people who aren't going to watch it, they'll have an extra coaster. Okay, big deal.
Yeah, I mean, because you're not talking like a humongous difference in price point. You're only talking $5, $10 most.
Yeah, and it's burned me every time. There's a single disc and a double disc of King Kong. There's a single and double disc of Harry Potter. Single and double disc of Chronicles of Narnia. You're not getting the really good sale price anymore because you want the most extensive version out there, right? So
just call me ignorant. I don't know who wouldn't want the extra super uber deluxe version.
Not everyone is into the making of stuff. I have friends who love movies just as much as I do, but they could give a rat's ass about commentary tracks or documentaries or featurettes or anything. And I'm the total opposite. I love the extras. I love seeing how things are put together.
Certainly have to echo that there. That's what I live for.
Oh, yes.
On a side note, a while ago, I had acquired a copy of Plan 9 from Outer Space on DVD from somebody who shall remain nameless. That, like the making of and like the behind the scenes of Ed Wood, that was very cool. I'm really happy I get to see that. So
I thought that was one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, and it's on one of the worst filmmakers ever made. But I mean, and it's very dated because it was made in the 80s, but I just popped it out just for nostalgia's sake because I thought it was so entertaining.
It was. It was awesome. And to be able to see, you know, very, well, for when it was made in the 80s, recent interviews with people like Vampira, you know, that was really, really cool.
To actually walk down the same streets and the old warehouse where the sets, where they filmed this thing, it's like, wow.
I know that's like really going off on a tangent from what we were discussing, but yeah, that was really nice.
So yes, to wrap up the tangent, get Plan 9 from Outer Space, folks. It's great.
Maybe it'll come out on Blu-ray or HD.
Oh, one can only hope.
How does that work for older movies that are being released on Blu-ray or HD, because these certainly weren't shot in high definition? So are you going to see like more crap on your screen? You know, you're going to see like not necessarily pixelation, but like artifacts, and you know, it's going to be difficult to take a movie that was made so long ago and convert it into this pristine digital format.
How pristine are the masters that they make these DVDs from? So yeah, it's hard to say with something that old.
The classic Star Wars trilogy I get a little nervous with, because when Lucas did the special edition, it was a lot of digital tweaking to make it look decent enough for DVD. So now when you're talking like Blu-ray, are we going to get like new remastered editions with even more digital filler, just so it looks nice enough for Blu-ray?
I don't know. The other big stumbling block, and I've brought it up time and time again on the show, is the fact that the public has to first upgrade their home entertainment systems to really get the full benefit of HD or Blu-ray. You need an HD TV to begin with.
Unfortunately, that is very true.
And the expense, while coming down, is still out of the reach of many consumers.
Including yours truly.
Unless you have a Best Buy credit card, and then you... Yeah, okay, anyway.
Now, kids, remember that PayPal link that we keep mentioning on the bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com site?
Yes. Please, give generously. Remember, we need to buy new toys.
We have to, only so that we can share our experiences with you on this wonderful podcast.
Exactly. Time for a little two-minute pause in the Big Ball Broadcast for Voice Acting 101. I've met a lot of fans at conventions who think that voice actors make a lot of money.
Yeah, right. Okay, some voice actors do make a lot of money, but overall, truth is, especially from an anime standpoint, landing a role on a hit show will certainly get your name out there and you can pay some bills, but it's certainly not going to get you on the way to an early retirement. Most voice actors have to either have a second job or some other means of income because finding work is sporadic. It's not a typical 9-to-5 situation. It's not full-time, or it's not part-time, it's contract. You may book a recording session that'll last an hour 1 week, and then you don't hear anything for a few weeks. You get a 4-hour session, and then maybe an audition, and meanwhile your rent is due, you need groceries. You see where I'm going with this. Your alternative jobs will have to be either at night or be flexible to allow for auditions and sessions. Voiceover pay varies due to the type of project, be it animation, audiobook, on-hold messages, corporate narration, video games, or the biggest moneymaker, commercials. You may make $50 from one session on a project, maybe a few hundred on another, or even more, plus residuals if it's a union project. More on unions in a future installment. Anime is unfortunately on the low end of the totem pole. Companies look to crank a lot of shows out quickly, minimizing cost and maximizing profit. In general, to make money in voiceover in a major market, you'll need a talent agent to represent you. On the next installment of Voice Acting 101, I'll go into more detail about getting one.
Half the press! It's Beckett Anime and Manga Issue 81, featuring Otherworld Steve's interview with Scott McNeil, the voice of Hohenheim from Fullmetal Alchemist. Plus, check out Steve's latest installment of Fullmetal Academics, Hohenheim of Light. Pick up the latest issue of Beckett Anime and Manga on sale now.
Ghibli posts a new Flash trailer for Tales from Earthsea. Nausicaa.net, which is like the definitive resource for Ghibli films, is reporting that Studio Ghibli has posted a trailer on their website for, and it's a new film by Ghibli that is directed by Gorō Miyazaki, Mr. Miyazaki's son. It's currently scheduled for release in July of 2006 in Japan. No U.S. dub or release information is available at this time. Again, the trailer is in Flash, and I will put the link in the show notes so you can go check out new Ghibli goodness.
It's probably safe to assume that Disney will bring it out over here with, you know, John Lasseter being the world's biggest Miyazaki fan at Disney. And they've had great success bringing the dubs over. And the only question is, it's a big casting guessing game. Okay, what big movie celebrity is going to play all the roles?
Mark Hamill, Patrick Stewart.
We need Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt.
Don't we all need a little Angelina?
Oh, we do. And then for us real starving voice actors, we might get a bit part that says, "Hey, it's coming this way.
It's coming right for us."
I'd love to be the guy who said that.
Oh, that's great.
Go to conventions, be sitting next to the guys who had bit parts in Star Wars movies, who walked on, had like no dialogue, and you see them for 3/4 of a second, and yet they make an action figure out of them.
When Becca and I get married, we honeymooned in Disney, and it wasn't set up this way. It was just really ironic timing. It was Star Wars weekends. You know, you see these humongous lines, literally thousands of people standing in line to get their action figures or posters or whatever signed, and you look at the guest list, and it's like, who? who was that?
I was Scout Commander B in the cutscene.
There was one guy there. He was like, I was an Imperial officer during this scene in Empire Strikes Back, and I was, like, way off to the side, and if you don't have the widescreen edition, you probably didn't see me, and...
I was at the store last week, and I went down the toy aisle, and I saw one of the new Star Wars action figures, and it claimed to be from The Empire Strikes Back, and I can't even remember his name, but I looked at him, and I don't even remember this character at all. Who the hell is this guy?
I love Hasbro.
Wow, if you're in Star Wars, you're going to get an action figure, eventually.
You're looking at the third George Lucas figure coming out now. The first one was... I forget what he was named. They didn't come right out and call him George Lucas, but he was in the X-Wing pilot uniform.
Right, right.
Then they released his character from Episode 3 with the rest of the Lucas family. And now they have a figure of George Lucas in Stormtrooper disguise. So, you know, I guess you're really running out of ideas if you have to start pumping out the George Lucas action figures.
MSN more popular than AIM for instant messaging? Can it be true? Well, at least from this one recent survey, it says 61% of instant messenger users worldwide preferred MSN. Wow. Now check this out. There's some other really interesting stats here. In Europe, there's 82 million people using instant messenger programs. In the U.S., only 69 million. Even though there's more people over here, go figure. Okay, and in the U.S., MSN is about even with AOL Instant Messenger, with Yahoo in a close third place. And 14% of all instant messengers worldwide use Skype, which we actually do for this podcast here.
Mind-blowing news when I read that. I really couldn't believe it. I really thought, you know, AOL had a bigger market share worldwide than that.
But when you hear something like a recent survey conducted by someone you've never heard of, it's like, well, how big of a sample are we talking here?
Right. A survey recently conducted by the Microsoft Corporation.
Yeah, or is it Joe Blow University who asked five of their closest buds?
I want to see the numbers. I want to see how you broke this down.
Actually, MSN does have more bells and whistles than AIM, but everyone I talk to is on AIM, so that's the one I use most.
And with you and I both being, you know, big fans of portable technology, it seems that you're kind of only stuck with AIM, like on the Sidekick.
Yeah,
there's also, what, Yahoo on there?
The T-Mobile Sidekick, very, the whole reason in owning that device is because of its portable AIM program.
If you have been keeping up the new season of South Park, you've noticed the controversy in Comedy Central banning South Park from showing an image of the Islamic prophet Muhammad in their season two-parter. In an elaborately constructed two-part episode of the Peabody Award-winning cartoon, South Park, creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker intended to comment on the controversy created by a Danish newspaper publishing the characterized images of Muhammad, the issue being that Muslims consider any physical representation of the prophet to be blasphemous. So South Park wanted to show this animated, uncensored version of Muhammad in their last episode, and Comedy Central decided to edit it. And Trey and Matt are not too happy about it. But this comes on the heels of a little bit of irony, because Muhammad was already shown in an episode of South Park called Super Best Friends, which I think came out last season. And since March 29th of this year, Muhammad has been seen as one of the background characters during the opening credits for the show. So a bit of hypocrisy on Comedy Central's side.
I guess they're trying to avoid any possibility of, dare I say, inciting a possible terrorist attack. And, okay, in this day and age, yes, everyone's paranoid and everyone's kind of worried about that sort of thing.
But, you know, this is great quote from one of the characters, Kyle, in the show. Either it's all okay or none of it's okay. Do the right thing. And I think that sentiment really echoes pretty hard after the fact. You know, either you can make fun of everybody or make fun of nobody. And now that Comedy Central's trying to say, well, you can do this, but you can't do that, it's really bad. It's really like the Isaac Hayes thing, where you're going to start being very picky about what you can make fun of and what you can't make fun of.
Yeah, when you have all these other shows that are just as edgy and controversial, but it's South Park getting all the limelight right now. And this is a show that's been on for years now.
I don't know. It seems that the intention isn't entertaining anymore. It's how far can we push the envelope and how pissed off can we get later on when the network doesn't let us do what we want to do.
And ultimately, when you have a corporation like Viacom, which owns them, and Paramount, they ultimately put these shows out on DVD, and they have total say-so over what goes on those discs. I remember that audio commentaries were excluded from one of the early DVD sets because I guess they were just worried about it or something. And then eventually a compromise was made, and Matt and Trey's audio tracks were shipped as CD.
A frequent South Park critic, William Donahue of the anti-defamation group Catholic League, called on Parker and Stone to resign out of principles for being censored, which is kind of funny because it seems like what they want them to do. You know, it's not, oh my God, they're horrible people and they should cancel the show. It's like, oh, you should stand up for your rights and your beliefs and you should resign out of, you know, anger. And it's like, well, yeah, isn't that what the Catholic League would really like for you just to resign?
We want your opinions on the subject. You can call our listener line, 818-574-3607. Disney announces free downloads of hit TV shows with a catch. Now, beginning in May, a two-month trial will make four hit ABC TV shows. Disney owns ABC, by the way. available for web users. You're going to get Lost. You're going to get Desperate Housewives, Commander-in-Chief, and Alias. They will be posted the day after broadcast for free. But, and there's a big hairy but, they will have non-skippable ads.
We don't encourage people to go and download things illegally, but what do you do if you're watching the show and you're really into it and you happen to miss an episode and the network isn't showing reruns? You can't watch the following week's episode because they're all linear. You gotta watch them somehow. So yeah, I think people will be very tolerant of watching unskippable ads to be able to catch up on their favorite shows. And it's really not much different from what certain anime dubbing companies are doing with their DVDs.
It's a fair compromise in the end, because if you're sitting there and you're on a tight budget and say you have a video iPod and you don't want to pay the $2 or whatever to download these shows, if you're going to have it for free, then yeah, you know, I haven't downloaded any of these $2 shows or whatever on the iPod, so I don't know how happy or indifferent or whatever the mass public are taking to this, but I know that video iPod downloads have helped propel other shows and get their ratings really off the charts, like Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, I predict it'll be a very successful experiment.
Sega prepares a great return to the world in the console market with a portable console. Exactly. Now, all this preliminary information is coming to us from a French website. We'll have to deal with a little bit of English here. So far, the project is being called the Sega Hedgehog handheld console that's supposed to be released at the end of 2007. Give you a little bit of the stats breakdown. It's going to be equipped with a 566 megahertz Samsung processor. It's going to have an NVIDIA 128-bit 3D graphics card. It's also going to have 128 megabytes of RAM, and it's boasting a 640 by 360 viewable LCD screen. Now, some of the initial complaints right now, I'm assuming from developers, is that the battery life is really short because of the screen brightness, and they're looking at a compromise on what they can do with the screen versus battery life. But one of the cool things that kind of makes up for it is that it's going to support both compact flash and SD cards.
Well, that is cool. I'm wondering what is going through Sega's head, because they've already had the Dreamcast come out and fail, and that is an awesome console, which I still own and I think is awesome, but they make their money in video game development with, you know, the Sonic series and other things.
And another really cool thing, too, is that they're also going to make it DivX compatible. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. You have a crowded market right now. I think the thing that's really going to either make it or break it for them is going to be a price point. And the other thing, too, and I'm wading through this English, and from what I can kind of pick apart from it, it's going to be like a lot of the Dreamcast games and stuff that's going to be available. So they're going to port these things over, which is really cool because it's not going to cost Sega a ton in developer cost.
Oh, that's cool. One of my favorite Sega Dreamcast titles, Power Stone, is actually coming to the Sony PSP.
Rumors are pointing to, yes, there will be an operational PlayStation 3 at E3 this year, but the public probably won't be able to touch it. That Sony's really going to keep very strict control over what's shown, what's displayed, what's viewed, what's played. Yeah. Which only makes me, you know, even more nervous about the alleged November release for the PS3.
Yeah, not too sure about that. Meanwhile, this is a good chance for Nintendo to sweep in and, you know, show off some DS Lite action and some Revolution action.
Microsoft's still really, really slow out of the gate. Sony having nothing but trouble this year. So yeah, this could be really interesting for Nintendo.
Superman Returns in IMAX 3D. Kinda, sorta, some of the time. This story was submitted by our good friend Super Tim. IMAX and Warner Brothers announced that the new Superman movie will be the first 2D live-action film to be converted into IMAX 3D. But, and here's the big hairy but, it won't be the entire movie. It'll be approximately 20 minutes of select sequences. Director Brian Singer has developed a visual cue for moviegoers to put on their 3D glasses. That's pretty cool. I'm wondering why they don't just go all and make the whole damn movie 3D.
To only make 20 minutes of the film available in 3D, that's kind of shady.
Yeah, and something that just popped into my mind, it's like maybe they don't want to do the whole movie because so many people complain, and I'm one of them, that your eyes hurt from wearing these stupid glasses. You know, your vision gets distorted. It depends on what kind of glasses. Now, the really cool ones that have good 3D are probably cost prohibitive, and they probably just won't go that route. Yeah, hopefully these are the better upgraded version of the 3D glasses. I'm not really sold on checking it out in 3D per se. I am excited to see the Superman Returns movie in and of itself.
And I'll be honest, I'm not even really looking forward to the classic trilogy in 3D.
No. Now, I love seeing movies in IMAX because it's the biggest format out there. And that in itself is worth the money.
Theatrical attendance has been like dropping like a stone for the last couple of years. And if this is how they're going to try to get people in, the only way you can see it in 3D is to go to your local theater. I can understand the reasoning behind it. Doesn't mean I necessarily support it.
I don't know how that will actually impact our ticket sales for this movie. I know it's going to be a big hit just because it's Superman Returns.
If you have a Nintendo DS, some of your local participating game stores have wireless downloads of demos bringing you the newest DS games. With the new DS download station, you can sample the latest and greatest games for your Nintendo DS before buying them. You can go over to this website that I will link in the show notes, and you can find the nearest DS download station near you and get in the game.
And I gotta say, because I'm a mindless sheep, that my interest is definitely peaked for a DS Lite. Now that the screen is better, it's smaller, it's sleeker, it's thinner.
We're seeing rental chains just disappear because like everything's going Netflix and stuff. But Blockbuster.
Yeah.
You know, after filing for bankruptcy, I'm watching stores just in my local area close, you know, all the time. So it's really tough. You really can't go out and rent games anymore, and God forbid you download them. But, for Nintendo, I think that's brilliant marketing. Plus, it gets people into the stores. It's a win-win. It's awesome.
Yeah. Now, if I were Sony, I'd seriously be thinking of some sort of plan. You know, they already update your PSP, you know, if you have a Wi-Fi connection. Here. You get it that way. You can update, you know, the software and everything. Why not get free downloads of games?
We're going to go over to our local Best Buy, which has the Nintendo DS download station. Going to see if we can download from the parking lot. So we're just going to keep trying to see how long before we get the Wi-Fi connection, and then we'll report back to you and tell you you have to be within such and such feet of the station to download.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Google Voice Search on the horizon. Well, with voice-to-text technology already catching on with the latest mobile phones, the hunt is on at Google to make searching online as easy as simply speaking the words. Check the show notes for a link to this article. I thought it was kind of funny that the writer said that that if this new technology, you'd be able to discern a thick Massachusetts accent.
Gonna park the car.
Yeah, that'd be wicked smart. Get to the car. We gotta get to the bar. We gotta park the car. Yeah. Google Voice Search. Think about how cool that would be.
More porn. That's awesome. Come on. Porn.
Again, if you have any comments on any of the topics we discuss, or if you'd like us to bring up a topic, or if you'd like to contribute any news items, well, Maria is going to tell you all about that. That's all the time we have. Till next week, this is Kyle Hebert and Otherworld Steve. See ya!
Visit our official blog page at bigbaldbroadcast.blogspot.com. Donations are graciously accepted and appreciated. Please email us at thebigbaldbroadcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a voicemail on our listener line at 818-574-3607. Additional announcements by Maria Vu. Remember to stay geeky!
That was